Hey, plenty on the catch-up today. It is Thursday. Our tech guru, Trevor Long, joined us. If you are watching Bathurst this weekend, any red-blooded male way to watch it that you've never seen a Bathurst like this before, you do have to get an app, and Trevor will tell you all about that.
Hey, can I just quickly talk about Bathurst? I got a couple of mates who sit in the garage with their TV, but they sit in the car.
Why?
What?
Yep, a GTR. They got a GTR. Yeah, they got a GTR and they'll sit there and just, you
know. But why?
Because it feels like you're driving.
Sorry. Forgive me. Okay.
You know, sometimes I watch the UFC while someone kicks me in the face.
Same thing.
Tattoo disasters. We heard some shockers. What about the guy with the lip?
That was amazing in Bali. There was plenty of that action for you. Heaps in the catch-up today. We'll catch you soon, Ease.
Here comes the Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up. Thanks to our mates at West Point Nissan, where the big one is back. Get one unbelievable deal and rate across a range of Nissan vehicles like the X-Trail, Pathfinder and the Navara. This is your one chance to take advantage of one great finance offer. Only for a limited time and only at West Point Nissan, 440 Moggill Road in Drapilly or westpointnissan.com.au.
So, I want to talk tattoo disasters. And because after the grand finals and the finish of the footy, there was all reports the last few days, people are getting premiers tattoos, people are going and getting the Storm and the Tigers put on their backsides and on their ankles and stuff like that, Marto. And it's actually, Dusty Martin is the best player in the AFL at the moment. He's got neck tattoos all over him. He's got tattoos all up himself. And you said it's catching in the Martin family.
I saw his grandmother, Lois. She's 70 years old, all right? She always said, if Richmond win and Dusty's in the team, I'm getting a tat. What she's thinking of getting is the body of a tiger and her grandson's face,
no,
Dustin Martin.
No, don't do that.
Oh, that's weird.
She's classy, though. She said, I'm not getting it on my ass.
she's
classy.
Lord.
She hasn't decided where. But, you know, you're 70 years of age. It's her first tattoo, despite her grandson being heavily tattooed.
Jeez.
What about that?
What you see is a lot of guys, a lot of sort of people I know, people at station, mates and stuff, they're going on their footy trips as well for their local footy. And inevitably, if they go overseas or something like that, some idiot Robin gets a tattoo. And you'll see them in Bali, you'll see them in Thailand, you'll see on the Gold Coast where a bloke's walking around and he's got cling wrap all over his arm.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Look, my mate's son, they won the grand final and then on Mad Monday, he went and got the name of the club put on his butt.
How old?
There you go.
19. But the problem was the following season he changed clubs.
This is Chris McQueen. This is Chris McQueen. You know, plays for the Origin, played for Rabbitohs, got the Rabbitohs, his number for the Rabbitohs on his neck.
Oh, you idiot.
And then transferred to the Gold Coast Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see it all the time. It's mad. But there are tattoo nightmares, and this came up because there was two stories that caught my eye. There's a Canadian model, and she's one of these tattoo models. So, you know, she's got a lot of ink on her, and they look nice, and she's in magazines. She got her eyeball done.
No!
She got ink put into her eyeball, and you'll never guess what happened, is that it burst, and then it was purple stuff streaming all down her face.
Wow.
Now, that's on her. Your eyeball is not meant to be tattooed. That's just The other one was this woman who'd had a few tattoos, and she had a lump in her armpit. And, you know, when women find lumps, Robin, it can be quite serious.
So yeah, particularly under your armpit because that's your lymph nodes and you would think cancer.
So she's, freaked out, done the right thing, gone and checked out, and it was a ball of tattoo ink.
Oh, my God.
That had slipped under and sort of collected under her arm.
Wow.
And they had to drain it. And I just got me thinking, I'm like, I know that tattoos, you know, are very popular and people love them and they look, you know, they look the way they look. And that surely what's being underreported is the nightmares, things that have gone wrong with a tattoo.
So we can do dodgy designs, but also like massive infections.
I love dodgy designs. Like the guy who went to, remember the bloke that went to Thailand when Geelong won the AFL Premiership and they won the pre-season and which they call the day Premiership. And that's the night Premiership and the day Premiership, which is the one they call
pre-season,
the regular.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bloke wrote the gay Premiership.
Right.
Well, David Beckham has his wife's name, Victoria, spelt wrongly on his arm.
In Hindi. It's incorrectly spelt in Hindi.
All right, away we go.
Says Emma Bunton. So give us a tattoo nightmare, yourself, someone you know, misspelt, wrong place, doesn't look like who it's meant to look like,
infected.
Tattoo nightmares.
Yeah. Ben's got one from Augustine Heights. What is it, Ben? Yours is sort of internal as well, is it?
Yeah, so my genius brother, he went to Bali 4 years ago, something like that anyway, and he wanted to get a tattoo on the inside of his lip. So it sounded like a good idea at the time, and they said, yeah, yeah, it'll only last a week. 4 years later, it's still there. Couldn't be more obvious.
What is it? What did he get tattooed on the inside?
His postcode.
Yeah, that's great. That's so... What if he moves? What if he...
Yeah, well, there you go. So maybe we'll have to update it.
What did they tell him they'd done? Just use a bit of texter?
I've got no idea. They probably didn't speak the same language.
That's fantastic.
Why would you get your postcode ever?
Yeah.
That is a really good question.
Unless you're a bra boy and that's about it.
That's true. That's the only way you can get it done. Thank you, Ben. Daryl from Cornubia. What tattoo disaster, buddy? What happened?
1974, I was in the Australian Navy and we're in Hong Kong and being 18 at the time, we're out and having a huge night and we had an American sailor with us and anyway, we're all up getting tattoos and we thought it was hilarious at the time and probably is. And anyway, the next morning he woke up, he would have had, he did have, the Australian coat of arms tattooed on his chest.
Oh, good one.
Oh, my God.
Just what he was looking for. He'd still have that. Daryl, he's somewhere in America right now. He still has that. That is fantastic.
I'd reckon he would have been cheering when we won the America's Cup, so that's a
Was he happy about it, Daryl, or was he completely mortified?
I don't know. We would have woke up on his ship and we woke up on ours.
Oh, right.
The next morning when we woke up.
They couldn't even Google what that animal on the right-hand side was. I don't know. It looks like an ostrich.
Treason. That's treason in America. That's great. Thank you, Daryl. Here's Rob from the sunny coast. Tattoo nightmare, Rob.
Hey, how are you? I heard over the weekend there was a guy from Adelaide who, before the AFL Grand Final, thought he'd get ahead of the game. And he went and got Adelaide Crow Premiers 2017 tattooed on himself.
Well played, son.
I mean, I can understand maybe getting a crow. You know, you could be dedicated to your team moving forward. But it's when you put the date, you
and
idiot.
It's so annoying to have to get the little asterisks and then right underneath didn't quite work out. Yeah. It just doesn't...
My name's Greg and I've got a problem. I've started watching Bachelorette.
Love it.
Well, Kath's favourite show and she loves Sophie Monk.
Yep,
and,
me too.
Well, I watched the whole show last night.
Oh, did you do it with a muzzle on so you couldn't comment?
By the end of the show, I was banned. Kath said you're no longer welcome to watch it with me. But the early part was about and this was our concern. There's too many young guys. She's 37 years of age, Sophie Monk. Too many young guys.
She took Apollo on a first date. Now, he's the youngest. He's 24. He's the one that looks a bit like Superman. He looks like Dean Cain. He's got that, you know, massive bulk and he revealed that he'd had a heart attack at the age of 16. And they had quite a nice date. But I kept looking at him going, buddy, you're 24 and she's 37.
And he's a magician.
And he's a magician.
Magic up a ring? Like, what do you think? This magic up a house? Come on.
Anyway, the glory happened when they brought in the intruders.
Well, why did they bring the intruders in? Remind everyone. Because she said... these young blokes aren't ready to settle down.
Well, I think everyone said, oh, my God, is that the sum total of what Australia can offer for someone like Sophie Monk? And so they brought these intruders in. Now, she claimed last night she didn't know it was going to happen. But the thing was that it was guaranteed that all four of the blokes that they brought in on a helicopter were older than any of the ones that were currently in the house.
They were 37, 37, 39 and 44.
So Guy, the Pommy, the optometrist, who looked a bit like a James Bond, Paul, the law student.
He looked like James Bond if Bond was a musical theatre show.
Fair enough.
That's an optometrist. Never marry an optometrist. Is that clearer?
Why?
Have you ever been to an optometrist? All they do is two. Is that better or is that worse?
Or two.
Number one? Number two.
One or two.
Two.
Okay. One, three one. Or four.
Yeah. Is the red one brighter or the green one?
Okay, can we... about Paul? Yeah. Now, he was a law student.
Was he the one with the long hair?
Yeah. It's
Hang on. A law student? Law students are 19 years and 20 years old. What are you talking about?
No. This guy, Paul, was far from that.
Give us the spiel.
Paul, how old are you, mate?
39.
39. Now, do we hear right that you've got five kids?
That's right. I do. Yeah. I've got five sons I'm also a grandparent.
He's got kids that have kids. He's the youngest, oldest dude I've seen.
The youngest, oldest, and law student dude.
A 39-year-old student, a single father of five, who's a grandparent.
That's right.
Surely a current affair is the show for him, not The Bachelorette. Surely.
Now, I don't know if you made it right through to the end. He didn't get a rose. He won't be continuing.
No. Of course he won't. Yeah.
He was one of the ones that left. Then there was the big guy, the big 6'5" bloke, the chef, AJ. Who everyone seemed to love. The blokes loved him because he was jolly and happy and lovely. Mm. And he had a big smile. And then, of course, the grand finale was the bloke that everyone is saying has actually won.
Told you about this yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah, we're talking.
Marty, I'm sorry to interrupt, Robin.
No, go.
You told me about this before the show started.
Yeah.
In typical Marty fashion, the details were hazy. But before the show even started, you said, "I know who wins The Bachelor. He's a bloke from Sydney that a mate of mine knows." And we were like, shut up.
A mate of mine told me in a pub down in Sydney, and he's well connected. Well, we should meet him first, should we?
Oh, he brought wine.
Oh, how original.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
The next guy comes out, and I'm like, I think I recognise him from somewhere.
Do you remember?
He bumped into you before.
You did.
They've met before. We've met.
For Sophie to actually remember when they met, he's obviously already made an impression, a memorable impression. I'm really concerned about this one.
So you should be. His name is Stu.
His last name, they didn't say. It came out as Stu Publican, like thinking, oh, maybe Stu owns a pub. Now, Stu is a member of the Laundy family. If anyone, people in Brisbane may not know it, but the Laundy family is the richest pub-owning family in New South Wales.
We have a winner.
I think last year they were worth $500 million. It's probably up to $600 million now. The Watson's Bay Hotel, Woolloomooloo Bay Hotel. I started reading them out to Kath. I went to Google last night. I said, you watch, these Laundies own every bloody thing.
And aren't they third generation?
Well, that's what he said, third generation publican. So it's not some dusty pub out in the bush or something. He owns every, they own everything. They own $30 million hotels. They own.
So let me guess. She's now got a choice between the New Zealand scaffolding expert, who seems like a creep, the 39-year-old with five kids.
Yes.
Or a bloke she already knows that's worth $500 million. Can I have some thinking music, please?
Marto, Ed and Robbins, Sports All In.
I know, 4 days after the NRL Grand Final, we're still going to just squeeze this lemon
for a little few more drops. Righto, I'm with you.
Hey, Rugby League, I just got one for all the Broncos fans. Sunday afternoon football is going to be a reality next year because this year, as you all know, Thursday night football, Channel 9 was the one. They were the one who had first dibs on all the games. So that's why the Broncos played a lot of Friday night football, as always, and a heap of Thursday night games, which were hopeless to go to, Thursday night games.
Yeah, shocking.
All right, so from next year, the NRL's taking control and the Broncos have made their approach and said, can you please let us have some Sunday games so family can actually go together? It's a wonderful one, and it also means now the NRL are in charge of the games. Canberra and Newcastle's teams like that never get on television will get on television on big Friday nights. So their sponsors can get a fair run and they can make more money.
That's the key. If you sponsor a team like that, when they go in and they say, this is what we've got to offer you, if they say, oh, you got Friday? No, we've never got a Friday. Well, that puts them at a disadvantage, a commercial disadvantage, which makes the league lopsided.
And therefore the Broncos become stronger. And everyone's up the Broncos down south, of course.
And on behalf of all Brisbane commuters, can we just drive on a Sunday to the game rather than for Thursday and Friday night because it turns traffic into an absolute freaking nightmare.
Representative we have here. Number two, Jarryd Hayne, his dream has come true. He'll be playing for Fiji in the Rugby League World Cup. He will be named in that team today.
That's good. This is what we want because you've got to... The Rugby League World Cup is a joke, and so we need to have as many of the good NRL players playing for as many of the other countries as we possibly can in order to even it out. I think it's a great idea. Good on him.
Brings me to the big story. Jason Taumalolo, he would be, if he's not the number one player in Rugby League, he's in the top three. Would that be correct? Everyone happy with that?
Top three. Yep, top three. Yep. Definitely the best forward.
All right. Now, there's a headline in the Courier Mail. Jason Decliner. What a great headline it is. It's because Taumalolo is really powerful, a powerful figure in amongst his Kiwi teammates. So he, of course, would be expected to play for New Zealand at the Rugby League World Cup.
Yeah, he'd be the best player.
All right. He has suddenly turned around and said, nah, you can shove that one. I'm going to play for Tonga at the World Cup because you can decide who you want to play for. because Andrew Fifita said, yeah, I'll play for Tonga too. Oh, no, I won't. Australia want me.
Well, hang on. Why would he? So he's played for New Zealand before. Why would he do that?
Because he hates their coach and what he did. Remember during the middle of the season when they had the Anzac test against Australia and Jesse Bromwich and Kevin Proctor, who played for New Zealand, got in trouble about, you know, a little bit of cocaine or whatever it was, etc. They got fined $40,000 and suspended for 6 club matches. Well, Tom Alolo and all the other New Zealanders are going, well, that's enough. They should be able to play. But David Kidwell, the coach of the New Zealand team, says, nah, they're not coming to the World Cup. I've got standards. Tom Alolo has now said, well, I'll give you what your standards are doing. Tim Lolohia, Solomon Akate, you know, Conrad Hurrell, Vadavai, you know, the big beast.
Oh, yeah.
Manu Manu and David Fusatua, 7 of them, and Tom Alolo are now going to go and play for Tonga.
Wow.
New Zealand is going to have the heart torn out of them.
Isn't Michael Jennings, he's also a chance, and Daniel Tupou.
And Will Hopewate.
Oh, my God. Tonga.
And you know the story is, all right, so New Zealand Rugby League players for the World Cup, what does it go for, 3 or 4 weeks? We'll find that out when it starts soon. $30,000 the Kiwis getting paid. The Tongan players getting $3,000.
So
they're taking about the money
for a little bit of honour. So this is big. I would suggest... men who like a bet.
Why can they play for whoever they like? That doesn't... It's rugby league. Okay.
We spoke about this yesterday.
I know, but it's just...
If you've eaten spaghetti twice in your life, off you go.
So what do you have to do to be in Tonga then?
Tonga, have a hungy. If you've seen a hungy or you like eating roast pork, off you go. You'll get a run for Tonga.
You're a win.
Down the Tongans.
I've had a carver. I'm in.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Robin, I'm going to repeat this story on radio because I've told you, I told Ed about it, but you seem fascinated.
I'm really interested in this guy.
Ed, remember, you know, for everybody, I don't think I've ever mentioned it on radio, but last year, in July last year, he dropped in, a mate of mine, he's 6'8", he came into the studio just to see what we do at work. 6'8", he's about 60 years of age, maybe just over. He's got long red hair. Okay, down past his shoulders.
Oh, wow.
He was originally English, but I met him 30 years ago in Sydney when I was playing footy, and he was a mate of a mate, and we've always kept in contact. In the last 10 years, he's lived in the back of his car. He's just driven around Australia. He's just completed his fourth lap of Australia this year. I hadn't seen him since, was that July last year he came in, Ed?
Yeah, it must have been about that time, because I remember you came in one morning and you said, stretch has arrived.
Stretch.
And I thought, oh, is this some sort of complaint that you've got on your knees? And no, it was your mate, and he was going to be in town for a couple of days, and then he was going to Moreton.
Yep.
And I remember meeting him, and he just had the best attitude. He was just a man doing what he wants in life.
Well, I said, where have you been? Like, he probably contacts me twice throughout the year. He doesn't have a phone. He hasn't got no access to anything. He's got a computer and he writes 1,000 words a day. He's onto his fourth book and he swims 1,000 metres a day. And that's how he keeps himself mentally healthy. He had a few problems. He was a millionaire back in the .com. When was that? The late 80s, early 90s.
No.
Made a million. Living down in Sydney, lived the highlight, owned the cars, owned the house, owned every fancy cars or chicks, or never been married. Right,
so no kids, no dependents.
No kids, no, nothing holding on. So about 5 years ago, he went stuff it. He went broke once. He made money again, went broke again. He went, I wonder what life's all about, and started driving around Australia. He's done 3 laps. Wow. I said, where have you been? He said, oh, I did a clockwise lap this year. So he loved up, you know, across the Nullarbor, up Esperance, Broome. Then he drove across to Townsville and then went to Cairns, stayed at a Mace Plates there. And last night he was sitting down. All right, so he turned up Tuesday night. Yeah, Tuesday night.
So when
night.
He comes to Brisbane, he just hangs with you.
That sort of recharges the batteries. Okay. Well, I said to him last night, we were watching the news, and yeah, been a lot of deaths there in the first 15 minutes. And then he said, I said, when's the last time you watched the news? He said, I haven't seen it since I was last year, since I was here. He hadn't watched news. He hasn't listened to the radio, doesn't read a newspaper, had no idea what was going on. He was aware of Donald Trump, but didn't know what he was like. Saw him last night and said, this bloke's an idiot. It is the most fascinating thing. He's got solar panel on the roof of his car. He used to have a proper van. He said, what happens? People realise you're sleeping in it and they move you on. Now he's got what looks like a soccer mum's transit.
Yeah, like a Tirago.
And they'll just think, oh, what's that car? They won't realise there's a 6'8" red-headed man sleeping in the back. He's got a little fan and he just drives around Australia.
So that's one nomad you know. You know any nomads, Robin?
I do, my mum. My mum's 82 and she's literally last Sunday drove back from Darwin to Sydney.
On her own?
On her own. She can change a tyre far better than I can. She knows, you know, how to change a oil. It's one of those, like, it's not a caravan. It's a camper trailer. She manually winds it up every time she stops and gets it into a caravan park. Yeah, she goes up to remote Aboriginal
Good
communities
Lord.
And goes and teaches up there because she used to be a professor of media studies at Griffith University here. And so that's what she does in
What's
her retirement.
What's her attitude like?
Oh, she's fantastic, my mum.
It's
she
good
just
for you.
Rocks it. And she spends 4 months a year driving from Sydney up to Broome and Darwin and Alice Springs and then out into the remote communities, does her stuff and
Work in
home.
The Aboriginal communities.
Yep, that's her thing.
Good Lord.
Isn't that interesting? All right, do you know a nomad? Someone who just lives their life doing whatever they want. Could be one of those grey nomads. I know a guy who's like a yoga teacher in Bali. I think that's what he pretends he does. There's a nomad for you. He just wanders around.
Actually, yeah. Let's get
everyone
else.
Do you know someone who's just gone, you know what? Nah. Someone who's gone just backpacking forever or just travelling around. Maybe you did it yourself. Maybe you did a year or 2 years of it. Nomadic lifestyles, no fixed address, just travelling around.
Wow.
Have you been there? Do you know someone?
Your mate Stretch Marto, he's just rocked up to your place. He's living the best life.
He's got a friend in Cairns that he stays at for about 2 weeks of the year. He stays at my place for about 2 or 3 weeks of the year and another place in Sydney. And that's, other than that,
lonely?
He drives. Doesn't ever get lonely, no. He talks to everybody. He's so relaxed, and that's what it seems to be. If you're a nomad, you got
Does he
no
have
cares.
A woman in every town?
Now, there seems to be, that's an interesting question.
Okay.
He's an attractive-ish man. He weighed himself last night.
He'll be happy with that.
He hadn't weighed himself for 12 months. He hadn't been near a set of scales for 12 months. He watched the news last night for the first time in 12 months.
Yeah. Did he put on weight from the last time he weighed himself?
Yes, he did. He occasionally minds some, the girl at King Cairns, I think he minds her dog. I don't know what that means.
Let's leave that there. Ever
Hey, Mark. Mark's from Cleveland. Mark, you know any nomads?
Yeah, my parents sold the house up and brought a caravan and they've been doing that for 7 years now, so they've spent the inheritance.
Oh, no, Mark.
7 years.
They're 7 years and they're still doing it now. They've just off to Alice Springs. They've gone down to, to opal mining,
Then
Port Augusta. So they love it, you know. They're having the best time of their life.
Are they really? Do they seem happy and they're in a good place?
Oh, they're in a great place, except when they come back and see my sister, then the babysitter days.
Oh, that's what they're doing, avoiding the babysitting.
They leave again. They leave again, but they're more happy on the road, and their life, marriage, is actually a lot better.
Yeah, look, can I tell you, I went with my mum. I drove from Darwin over to Broome with her about 2 or 3 years ago. Hey. And it's so funny because you go to caravan parks like Catherine, which is an awesome caravan park, and there are grey nomads who set themselves up for the season. So there's one whose van is right at the front and she does hairdressing. So for all the other grey nomads, you can see them in the toilets getting their, you know, purple rinse.
That's amazing.
Because she comes
and
in.
Don't they have sundowner drinks in the arm and stuff?
Yeah, they all know each other.
Oh, God, they're funny.
Very cool.
Hey, Chris from Pelican Waters. Now, tell us, do you know a nomad?
He's actually passed on now, my Uncle John. He spent almost 40 years in the Australian Air Force down in South Aussie.
Yeah.
He lost his wife and one of his daughters in an accident and then retired and just basically got a little camper and a four-wheel drive. And before he passed, I think he did almost 8 trips around Australia, and he just played golf. He'd just sneak into a little road, find a golf course, and once a year he'd see us, and he'd always end up in Adelaide for Christmas to see his kids. But, yeah, almost 8 times he went around.
Did 8 laps of Australia. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, did he
played golf.
Did he die on the road? Like, what happened?
No, he ended up being back in back in Adelaide with an ailment before he passed on, but he was 89 or something. So,
good on him. That's incredible. I mean, it's funny that it's great that we live in a place that you are able to do that. Like, if you lived in Holland, if you did 8 laps of Holland, you'd take them about 6 months, and then you'd have to try and think something else to do.
We got one more. Mick from Bribie Island. Do you know a nomad?
Yeah, mate, myself.
Oh, good one. Oh, well, that's no good for us because you won't always be listening. But what's the story?
Oh, mate, been right up to Doomadgee, up to Hell's Gate, right up to Normington, Corumba. Caught the biggest fish in the biggest barrier in Corumba. Yeah. And ready to go again.
Righto. So what do you do? Drive a van or?
No, four-wheel driving caravan. I used to have a bus, but now we're going four-wheel driving caravan.
And why, Mick? What made you do it?
I've got the grey hair now.
What made you do it, Mick?
Yeah, no, we did it with my daughter for 9 years.
God.
Took her out of school, did a homeschooling. And, no, it's good fun, mate. It's good. There's heaps of work out there.
Doing what?
Doomadgee Roadhouse. We worked there for 3 seasons. Three seasons we worked there.
And it's pretty cheap to do, is it?
Yes, mate. Yeah, all you've got to look after is your fuel, mate. That's all.
Yeah. Mm. Gee, that can be expensive.
Good on you, Mick.
It's all good fun, mate. I got people running around here everywhere today. I've just had a garbage truck come in here.
Oh. Okay, well, we can talk all day,
good
Mick.
Good to know. Yeah.
Get on you, Mick. Right. Back on the road. Marto and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M.
Hey, guys, you know how we were talking the other day about there's a real need for help around Brisbane's local sporting clubs? Like, yes. There's so many sporting clubs and there's not enough help. They're the hearts of little communities, right, all around Brisbane. Absolutely. All sorts of sports, all sorts of, whether it's male, female, everything.
And it's expensive. And I was only thinking about this looking in the western suburbs and seeing so many football teams and knowing that a lot of the big ones are fine.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Little ones, facilities, like just even having nets for your soccer goals, or being able to have enough cones so that the kids can dribble around them. Like that sort of stuff
the
costs
canteens,
money.
The canteens, everything. And these clubs, you know, don't worry about the Broncos. They look after themselves, all the big time ones. But at these sporting clubs are the glue that holds Brisbane together in so many ways. But they need a real hand. And I went to lunch, I said to you last Thursday, yes. I think it was, went to lunch with Ken from Height for Hire. Mm-hmm. Had a chat to him and he said, listen, I reckon I can help out. I think I've got him on the line here. Ken, are you there?
Yeah, mate.
Well, this is Ken from Height for Hire. You guys have
hey,
met him,
Ken.
I think, haven't you?
Hello, Ken.
Hi.
Do you remember the chat we were having? What can we do together to help these clubs, do you reckon?
Oh, look, I think that if we can just give a little money here and there and a bit of labour and what have you, and try and work out on improving facilities or improving what makes kids have fun.
So you're kind of keen, Ken, that if we start to get clubs interested in people who need a hand, that you can actually help fund some of that stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what we do at Height for Hire, try to help out people that are doing it a bit tough.
Well, you know that Orange Sky Laundry, they needed a little bit of a hand, got themselves sorted out, and just people jump up and we can spread the message, and Ken always jumps out and helps out.
Always helps.
But some of our people will help with some of the labour. It may not be in their area. They'll wait until there's a club, because we want to do all around Brisbane, Ken, not just in one little area. We want to help everybody.
But the bottom line is, and as much as people giving their time is fantastic, and as you say, we will need it, sometimes it's cash. You actually need the money. So, Ken, that is awesome, and thank you, and we will be calling you back. Give us a little while, like a couple of 24 hours maybe, to get it sorted, and then we'll start to put something in place so that the clubs can come in and tell us exactly what they want to do. So thank you. We will take your money very happily.
Thank you to Height for Hire. So therefore, we'll use Height for Hire's grunt and Triple M's muscle on air, and we're going to lend a hand for all these community sports clubs around Brisbane. This will be brilliant. Stay tuned.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian Government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Time now to talk to our tech expert from EFTM.com.au. He travels the world looking at the newest in tech and then telling us all about it. G'day, Trevor Long.
Morning, Ed.
Hey, Trev, two things on the agenda today. Do we want to start with the amazing Bathurst app or the Kid Tracker? Robin, Marta, what do you feel like first?
Kid Tracker and let Bathurst bring it home.
All right, Kid Tracker. How do we keep track of the kids? There's a new thing out, Trev.
So this is a Garmin Vivo Fit Junior, but it's in Star Wars and Disney colours, so the kids are actually going to want to wear it. It's like a Fitbit, but for kids. Now, people say that's a bit crazy, but I've got to tell you, my kids love it. They want to be tracked in the sense that they're competitive. Like, they want to know how many steps they're doing. So we're not talking about tracking your kids in terms of where they are. We're talking about tracking their activity, right?
I wanted to find my 15-year-old.
Well, there's an app for that, but he'll probably turn it off.
Yes, he does.
The thing about these activity trackers is they're not just tracking their steps and things. They're actually also tracking their chores. So you as a parent can say, hey, got to brush your teeth, got to put the bins out, got to do the dishes, and it actually reminds them on their wrist. And, you know, they can earn points and things through it. So it's actually a really cool little product, $130 it'll be out this month. And as I said, for Star Wars-loving kids, it's all branded and stuff. So they'll actually want to wear it.
Okay, interesting.
Sounds so you can, all right.
Yeah, get some active kids out there. Go on, Marto, ask him about the other one.
All right. Well, I've heard there's a Fox Sports app for Bathurst this weekend, and I don't even know whether I'll be in Brisbane, so this could be perfect. Can you describe what it does? I think it's interactive as well, isn't it?
It is. It's called Fox Vision. You don't have to be a Foxtel subscriber to get it, but first and foremost, you can open it up and see who's leading the race. You can get the whole leaderboard. But there's an interactive 3D map. So imagine the map of the mountain, and you can move it around on the screen.
Oh, I love it.
See who's where. So the top 10 are represented on the map by little dots, and you can see where they all are, so the distance between first and second. But also, you can tap on any car and see the telemetry, so what gear they're in, brake, acceleration, speed, the whole kit. It's all on your smartphone. While you're watching the TV, you can have all this information. And they've set up two 180-degree cameras, one in pit lane, one at the top of the mountain, and you can actually watch wherever you want to watch. So you can look down to the left, you can switch your phone around to the right, and you can look where you want to look instead of having to rely on the director.
Can you watch the crowd as well? You don't have to just watch the track. Have a look at, look at that fat bloke drinking.
I think they've gone 180 degrees for that reason. If it was 360, you could turn around and look at the one carton a day mob up the top of the mountain.
Look at that guy in his motorised esky.
So is that separate? So when Fox is covering off for the race and they do for the TV.
They'll be on telly doing their thing.
So, and are we accessing their cameras through the app?
No, they've set up specific cameras just for the app, one at the top mountain, one at the bottom, and then all the data you want. So it's called second screening. So you're getting all the live TV vision, and that's pretty comprehensive. Then in the app, you can choose to see whatever else you want in terms of who's placed where and the distance between them all, whole heap of bunches behind the scenes stuff. It's a really cool app.
Hello, future.
It's available on Android and Apple phones.
That is unreal. Mate, can I just ask you another little one? There was a story on TV last night. It was one of the lead stories about facial recognition. Malcolm Turnbull wanting every single driver's license to go into to be compiled into a data bank. So if you're driving along the road, they'll know where you are at every minute of every day. Do you get your head around this one?
Look, it's basically what they want to do is give the federal police the option to analyse photos in a much greater way and actually match them back to people. Because the states have got our driver's licences. This stuff is easy. Like, Google has this technology. I've got all my photos uploaded to Google, and if I've got a photo of you, I can find all the photos of you really easily. It's simple technology. And you know what? The cops need it to find crims. I don't think they're going to be tracking me on the motorway. It's freaking a lot of people out because your driver's license photo is that one thing that's like a bit of a privacy breach. So people are a bit worried about it, but I don't think you've got too much to worry about. I think in the end, you've got to give the cops what they need to track down people.
And as you say, though, there's already stuff out there. I mean, we have no idea how many people know who we are and all of our details. It's
every
just the way
I
it is.
Every time I go to the airport, they scan my face at the customs. I mean, if you think they haven't got your details already, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Trevor Long, our tech expert from EFTM.com.au. Speak to you soon, buddy.
Cheers, boys.
A-League is back this Friday night. The Brisbane Roar travelling to Melbourne to play Melbourne City. So excited for that season to get going. And then it is the Socceroos versus Syria, the first of the two-leg playoff, which is tonight. And a man who the coach is the Brisbane Roar and also kicked the winning penalty to get to the Socceroos to a World Cup. I don't know if he ever remembers he did that. Good morning, John Aloisi.
Good morning, guys.
Can we first talk about the Socceroos? Syria, can they play football? Are they good? Have we got a chance to beat them?
Well, we've definitely got a chance of beating him, but they're a side that got players that have played in different countries around the world, mainly in the Middle East, in UAE and in Saudi Arabia, but they're strong and they're in a position that they're confident because they've been doing well as a national team of late. And we all know the hardships of Syria, so you know they're hungry. They want to do something for their country and qualify for a World Cup. We definitely can beat them.
But John, their players are from Syria. None of them hang out in Syria. They all live somewhere else, don't they?
Yeah, they do. The majority of them play outside. Yeah. There's a couple playing in Kuwait. There's a couple playing in the UAE in Saudi Arabia. That they can't play their home games in Syria. They have to play in Malaysia, where they'll play Australia. And so it's a different sport. I've never experienced that playing against a team like that before. But you can just imagine, you know, what they're fighting for as a team. You know, they feel that they're not just a football team. They're fighting for their nation as well.
Hey, John, here comes my conspiracy theory. And we all know that FIFA is an interesting place.
Uh-oh.
So where is the World Cup next year, Johnny?
In Russia.
Who is Syria's only friend in the whole world?
Come on.
No, let me finish. Johnny, let me finish. If we beat, let's say that Syria beats us, who is the team that is currently coming, is it fifth in the CONCACAF qualifiers?
Well, the USA are coming around that.
So are you telling me that Vladimir Putin and a lot of money he's been pumping a lot of money into FIFA recently, how much would he love for Syria to beat the United States to qualify for a World Cup in Russia?
Well, he's not going to get that opportunity because Australia's going to beat Syria.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. All I'm saying is, Johnny, that the referees that we have over the next few games, I might just check their Mercedes count before and after the matches. That's all I'm saying, Johnny.
Yeah, well, I don't like to believe that. But anyway, we'll focus on the football, make sure Australia win. But it's going to be a tough game. We've got them tonight and then next Tuesday in Sydney. And it's going to be important qualifiers for us.
Well, that's the Socceroos. What about the Raw? Mate, who have you signed? Just for anyone who hasn't been keeping up with it. Have you got a French guy? Well, tell us who's in the team this year.
We signed a French player 4 weeks ago, Eric Balciak, but he still hasn't got his visa, so we're pretty disappointed about that. So he won't be playing Friday night. But we also signed a player called Massimo Macaroni. He played in the Premier League and played in the Serie A for 20 years. A very experienced player, but top quality striker. And we also got some young players that we've signed, Peter Skepetis and Corey Gamiro. So we feel that we've got a strong squad. We've got a few players out tomorrow night, but the young boys know their roles and they're excited to get the opportunity. And we feel that we can start the season off, we'll grow strong throughout the season.
Well, we're excited, mate. Robin?
No, well, I was just going to say, John, I have three sons who are complete soccer devotees. There has been so much chat over the last 2 weeks in my house as to whether the Raw can do it. They were very unsure at the end of last season. They thought maybe, you know, we'd had our time. But I can go back home now and tell them that this is going to be a competitive side.
That's going to be good.
Well, I think you can, Robin. I've heard that you're a massive supporter and it's great to see that you're at the games. And look, they need to stay strong with the Brisbane Roar because never write off these players. They're players that have been winners. They want to win. Their motivation is still there. We've still got the likes of Matt McKay and Jade North and players that have been here at the club for a long period. And we just missed out in the last two seasons of making grand final. One game short, and we're hopeful that we'll make the grand final and win it this season. So there's a long way to go, but we're excited about starting tomorrow night.
Great. Excellent work. Grab your membership. If you haven't got your Brisbane Roar membership, get on board before the season starts. It's this Friday in Melbourne, and then the guys are at home. And then, of course, the Socceroos tonight. You can see that on Fox Sports. You can see the Allegon Fox Sports as well. Johnny Aloisi, Roar coach. We'll speak to you soon, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, if you call the show, you can apologise for things. Like, I'd like to apologise to the girl at the Qantas lost baggage office on Monday night.
What'd you do?
Oh, it'd have been a long trip. Like, I came home from South Africa. I was listening to Luke on the Luke Bradnam show with Libby and Dobbo.
Yeah.
And he didn't even take his bag to Thailand. He left his bag here and just walked away. Like, I took my gear. I had to take a suitcase because it was quite cold over in South Africa for the rugby when I was there last week.
Gotcha.
Getting home Monday night, like, we've got to work the first thing. It was 9 o'clock Monday night, and Qantas tell me they've lost my bags and my mate. And I'm going, what? I got to get to work in about 6 hours. I need, you know, oh, God, I got stuff in there. No, this is just hoping. So I'm sorry to that lady because finally.
You got cranky, yeah.
I was cranky.
We all know.
No.
And I think at some stage I said, you'll probably get a big bake on Triple M, you know, tomorrow when I'm going to go
and
to
that
work.
Didn't help.
In about 6 hours' time, and you've lost all my stuff, and this is hopeless, and la la la. So sorry, Qantas. Well done. delivered it to my house. God, this, but there must happen a lot because my mate, a commentator mate, they all lost theirs. They were going to Sydney. All their bags ended up in Cape Town, not Johannesburg. They lost theirs over there in South Africa.
No.
Mine at least made it to Sydney and didn't make it to Brisbane.
Oh, I see.
You can track everything these days. So
they've barcodes that they put on.
I believe so. That's what they said. You can go tracker numbers. But the bag got there. Theirs finally got there. But this bloke said his wife went to Italy and back in the last 6 months. All right, went over there. They lost their bags for 4 days. Came home. They lost their bags for 4 days on the way home as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
She had a 90 on for 3 days in Italy.
But if they lose your bag for a period of time, do they give you money
It's with your travel insurance. If you've got travel insurance, there's a cut-off point. And then that's what happened to us once. My wife and I went away years ago when she was just my girlfriend. And then, I know, how weird's that? What a loser. And who has a girlfriend? And then I went, and so anyway, we got to America, bags didn't rock up.
That's the worst.
It was a week. She went a week without her bag. Yeah. And of course, it was the best thing that ever happened to her, Robin.
Yeah,
what'd
well,
she
this,
do?
Is, this is my question, because I'm like,
She shopped so much. Oh. She shopped so much that when our bag finally arrived, we had to go and buy another bag to fit all the stuff that she'd gone and replaced in the meantime.
Oh, my kind of girl.
But that was a week. That was the longest I've ever had. Robin, they ever lost your bags?
No, that's not true. They did, but I was so little, and because we went overseas with my parents, and I remember that mine was the only one that was lost, but because I was the youngest, it just meant I wore everyone else's clothing, including my father's, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow.
It was so embarrassing.
Corduroy slacks, you would have looked lovely in those.
Ghosties.
Jumper as a dress, it was revolting.
Yeah.
It's bad if you're losing them on the way to a holiday, but if you're losing them on the way home, I had no reason to. No, they got there. They're just all dirty stuff.
Who's had their bags misplaced / lost? Sometimes you never get them back. I often think about people who are going backpacking. Well, what if the backpack goes missing when you get to the first South America or whatever it is? Your whole life's in that bag.
See, that's the thing. You're talking about cowboy countries, like feral countries. Some of them get stolen by the people on the tarmac. That doesn't happen in our... Or does it?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't think so.
I flew an airline called Air Mango Air last weekend.
Right on.
Last week.
South Africa.
Yeah, and they got my luggage. It was all good.
You arrived, which I think is quite miraculous.
That's very true, actually. That is the biggest miracle we've had there.
We don't want to bag airlines. We just want to hear stories, don't we?
Well, yeah. Exactly. Brian of Runaway Bay, what happened with your luggage?
I flew from Brazil to Spain about 15 years ago before there was all this modern tracking technology.
Hey.
They lost my luggage. On the second day, the only thing that they could tell me was, sir, 100% for sure, we have absolutely no idea where it is. Day three, they said, listen, here's an allowance. Go out and buy yourself some more gear because we don't know when your stuff's going to turn up.
Oh, good.
Day four, my stuff turned up. But when I went to leave the airport, they said, oh, we've got to charge you excess luggage because you've got too much gear to check in.
Oh,
get out of it. Oh, Brian. You know, if that happened, Marto would still be in that airport arguing right now.
He
would
be in the chest.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Right.
Thank you, Brian. Alicia, Pacific Pines, what happened with your luggage?
Hi, how you going?
Good.
I flew to LA last year. And then I flew to Columbus, Ohio for a music festival. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting at the baggage carousel and it stops. And the luggage didn't turn up. It stayed in LA. And I finally got it delivered at midnight that night, just before the concert. Otherwise, I would have had flip-flops and, you know, what I was wearing to go to this concert.
Isn't that the worst feeling, Alicia, when you're sitting at the baggage carousel and everyone else leaves and oh, I'm that person.
Terrible.
And you go,
it's never happened before to me, but it actually gets worse. So I had the festival. It was It was a 3-day festival. Everything was fine. And then I flew to Buffalo to go to Niagara Falls.
Yes.
And different airline. And I was sitting at the carousel again.
Not again.
And it stopped. And I'm like, this couldn't possibly be happening twice in 5 days. But yeah, and that they were actually worse than the previous airline. They took about 3 days to finally get my luggage delivered to me. Jesus. So I'm walking around in what I'd sort of
stinky festival gear.
Well, I'm not big on, you know, like how people put their a couple of extra sets of clothes in a bag. Yeah. I'm always slack like that, but this time I actually did that, so I'm just so thankful because I had a couple of sets of clothes.
Nice.
But
that's
I couldn't believe it.
That's, you are unlucky, Alicia. You got one of those bags. Hey, Steve from Wynnum, what happened, mate?
Malaysia from a powerlifting competition into Sydney, and then they offloaded people there, and then come up into Brisbane. And as we're meeting our family, this bloke's hanging around from the airlines, and he says, "Oh, we've got a bit of a problem. We've left your wheelchairs in Sydney."
Yeah.
How do you misplace a wheelchair, Steve?
Yeah, well, I take it off, stick it on the tarmac, and then take their luggage off, and then they just put it back on, and they've left them there.
What do they do?
What do they offer you?
Skateboard?
Those big steel thing clunkers you see at the airlines. They said, "Hey, you take one of these home with you?" I said, "Mate,
oh, thanks.
Mate, chairs are made for you. You can't sort of get around your house and that." So
yeah.
I got the nephew, sort of went and picked his chair up and spare chair up. And I said, "I'll have it up."
Oh, sorry, Steve.
Hey, Steve,
your phone.
No,
your,
it's the phone
no, it's
lines
our
here.
Love yeah, it's Steve. No, Steve. Sorry, Steve, it's not you, it's us.
Thanks for checking out the Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up. While you're in the mood to check out things, have a gander at West Point Nissan, where the big one's back. Get one unbelievable deal and rate across a range of Nissan vehicles, like X-Trail, Pathfinder and Navara. Hurry, this is your one chance to take advantage of one great finance offer. Only for a limited time and only at West Point Nissan, 440 Moggill Road, Indooroopilly, or westpointnissan.com.au.